Luke, the 18th chapter this morning, and while you're turning, I'll pray. Heavenly Father, we count a privilege to come into your house. Thank you again for your goodness. Thank you for your watchful care. Thank you, Lord, for every good and perfect gift you've given us. We know we live in an uncertain time, but we know we also have a God we can depend on all the time. And I pray you'll strengthen our faith in you, that we may our confidence may be strong, that in spite of the storms, in spite of everything going on, our confidence in you can remain strong, our faith strong, that we might be a light to those around us in this dark day. Help us, I pray. Now help us in the speaking of your word. Help by the anointing of your spirit, both the hearers and the speaker. And we'll give you the praise. We ask it in Jesus' name. And amen. We're living in a dangerous time. Dangerous time. And I mean spiritually. This is a dangerous time spiritually. There's a whole bunch of things going on that creates this danger. Whole lot of things going on right now that creates this spiritual danger. There's a lot of things changing. And in the midst of change, there's always some danger spiritually. Because part of our spiritual life is also routine. Amen? We get into routines that help us be successful in living for God. There's also a lot of unknowns. And a lot of unknowns brings a lot of uncertainty and doubt and fears into our head. There's a lot of frustrations and disappointments because there's a whole bunch of stuff that just ain't going right. Amen? There's a whole lot of things that not going the right direction. That can be in your personal life. It can be in your health. It can be in your job. It can be in your family, in your relationships. Or it could just be what's exploding all over the world. The means of grace that we've enjoyed have been affected. And that, by that I mean largely our ability to be together, to help one another, to be consistent in meeting together. That's been affected. Just these changes, along with the onslaught of evil, I haven't even touched on that, but the onslaught of evil that has gripped our land has caused many to become discouraged. When we become discouraged, we're in danger of losing our faith. And losing your genuine faith is the most catastrophic thing that can happen to you because it destroys you spiritually. It breaks your relationship with God, and it exposes us to all the other dangers we just talked about because it removes us from God's blessing and safety. We're in danger of losing our faith. We get discouraged, we get distracted. We're in danger of, and by faith I mean our loving, trusting confidence in God. That's faith. Your loving, trusting confidence in God. And without our faith in God, we're not going to pursue our only source of hope that we have. And that is God. I'm going to tell you something. We are not headed for good things if the path our nation and our world is on just continues. If you just connect the dots, then we continue down that path. Good things don't result. In fact, I was talking to Dad yesterday and talking of some things and somebody he highly respects. Fully expects there to be blood in the streets. And I agree with that 100% unless God intervenes. We're completely two groups of people in this country at complete odds. There is no compromise. There is no. What's a compromise between killing a baby and not killing a baby? I mean, really, what's a compromise? Well, we'll just let them kill them and we won't kill them ourselves. Is that? Nah, that's stupid. Amen? There is no compromise on that issue. There is no compromise on many of the other moral issues. Without an intervention from God, and those of you who know history, what happened in the French Revolution? What happened in England during the French Revolution? Does anybody know that? It was a great awakening. Whitfield Wesley, right? It was a great awakening that took place in England and throughout that Isles that prevented the bloodshed that happened in France, which wasn't affected by the Great Awakening. Amen? Amen. Without an intervention from God, folks, we got enough history to know what this thing looks like. And without our faith in God, we won't diligently, honestly pursue the only source of hope we have. We will quit praying in faith for what we need. We'll quit praying in faith for what we need personally. We'll quit praying in faith for what our church needs. We'll quit praying in faith for what our land needs. And without that, God moves, folks, in answer to prayer. Amen. He said when he brought destruction on Israel, what did he say? I sought for a man to stand in the gap, but I found none. Therefore, I poured out my indignation. Amen. God looks for people he can work through. Luke 18, chapter verse 1. This is very familiar. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in the city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of my adversary. But he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet this widow troubleth me. I'll avenge her, lest by her continued coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith? And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you, he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on earth? And that's what I want to look at this morning. Nevertheless, will the Son of Man find faith when he cometh? The purpose of this parable is that we should pray and not give up. He said he spoke a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. The very purpose of this parable was to prevent us from giving up, losing heart, losing faith when faced with delay and difficulty. This parable assures us that God will faithfully answer prayer. Yet the concluding verse indicates that many will lose their faith while waiting. Because he said, nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith. What he's saying here is, many in the waiting would lose their faith. Delayed answers to prayer test our faith. Amen? When it don't come by the time you think it should come, your faith is tested. Amen? Because all of us, when we pray, have some sort of timeline in our head. We all have some kind of timeline when we think things ought to happen. Because to a large extent, we've already worked it out in our head, right? What we think ought to happen. How it ought to go down. We've already got that. We just need God to come on and do it, right? Well, so, when it don't happen, by the time, in our infinite wisdom, we figured out it should, we begin to lose faith in God, saying, oh, God don't love me, or something's wrong. God should have done this. God should have done that. Amen. We're tempted to give up. Tempted to quit trusting. We're tempted to quit praying. Amen? I'm going to tell you, if you've ever prayed earnestly for something you really had your heart in, and it didn't come by the time you believed it ought to come, your faith is tested. That means you are tempted to quit trusting God in faith for that. Yes. Amen? Yes. Well, I am. I think most of you are about the same way I am. Difficult times test our faith. Uncertain times test our faith. Adverse changes test our faith. Adverse changes means changes that are not in our favor. You have changes on the job that go the wrong way for what you're doing. If you have changes in any aspect of your life that are not the way they should have went for your benefit, it tests your faith in God. Amen? You begin to think, well, is God really fair? Is he really good? Does he really love me? Nope. Come on, those are thoughts that come, folks. And that's a challenge. That's what it means by testing your faith. It challenges us in our loving, trusting confidence in God. Amen? I want to help you. I'm trying hard, folks. This is foundational. We're in some rough water. I don't know if it gets better or worse, but my feeling is that we're probably in rough water for a while yet. That being the case, unless we're rooted and grounded in our relationship with God, we're going to have some folks fall off the ship and drown. Yeah. We need anchored, folks.
Right.
And that anchor is faith. It is your own relationship with God that's based on your confidence in His love and your loving trust and confidence in Him in return. Amen? This parable reminds us once again, God is faithful. And I know I go over this time and time again, but I'm going to continue to pound it until we really get a hold of it. The point of the parable was that the judge granted her request because of her persistence. Even though he was not a moral person, even though he didn't care about God, even though he didn't care about her, she didn't give up. And that's the point. She didn't give up. And he says, how much more then should we expect a holy, loving God to do what's right? If by persistence, the unjust judge, the judge who didn't care about God, the judge who didn't care about people, if by her persistence she got her request granted, how much more should we expect a holy God to do what is right in our own life? Amen? And it says, for his own elect. Elect means chosen. You ever think about that? God chose you. Now, I know sometimes we think we chose God. Well, in one sense, that's right. But the truth is, unless God came knocking at your heart, unless God by His Spirit spoke to you, none of us would ever turn to God. Unless God always initiates salvation in our life. That's why I can say God's elect, because He's seen He could persuade you. He chose to save you. God looked down and chose to save you. He calls us His own children. God's good all the time. In every situation, you don't have to be able to figure it out. That's the truth. You don't have to make it match up. It remains the truth whether we can figure it out, whether we can make it total up, no matter what. God, that's fundamental to who God is. God's good all the time in every situation. He's perfectly good. He's perfectly holy in what He thinks, what His motives are, what His actions are, perfectly holy. He always does what is absolutely right.
Amen.
See, He knows so much more about everything than we do. We know our little slice of life. That's all we know. God sees the whole world and everybody in it. God knows in the sum total of everything what's best. Amen? God never acts arbitrarily. And that means God never does anything just because He's God. That's hard for some people. He never does. God never delays arbitrarily. That means He never just waits because He's waiting. God is good. And He has good, holy, just reasons for everything He does. Everything He does comes from a good motive and a good desire.
Yep.
It's perfectly holy. He doesn't arbitrarily delay 1 minute beyond what is right. In our infinite wisdom, I know we already figured that out and there's no alternative. But the truth is, God actually knows what's right. Amen. Shall not God avenge His own elect which cry day and night unto Him, though He bear long with them? I tell you, He will avenge them speedily. How do you reconcile, bear long, and avenge speedily? Well, I've said enough. You ought to know the answer to this. God answers as soon as it's right to answer. He never arbitrarily delays. It may be a long time, but it's as quick as it was right to answer. Amen? God's good. Everything He does is good. He answers as quick as it's right to answer. Nevertheless, shall the Son of Man find faith on earth when He returns? In spite of God's faithfulness to us, delays in answers to prayer, delay in seeing what's right take place, can cause us to lose faith. Amen? In spite of all that truth, we know, especially if it's real important, right?
Amen. Yes.
especially when it's real important to us, when we're earnest and fervently praying, and it goes beyond the timeline, we know in our infinite wisdom that was the right time for God to move. When it goes beyond that, we can begin to lose faith. This parable is written to prevent that. He gave this parable to the effect, for the outcome to be, that men would always pray and not lose heart, not faint, not give up. Amen? Yeah. Keep your faith. Strengthen your faith. Faith is the core of your Christian experience. It is the foundation of your relationship with God. Your loving trust in God. Our faith is that Jesus Christ loved us enough. He gave His life on a cross that we might be saved. Amen? And by faith, we accept that salvation based on His love and His sacrifice for us. That's foundational to the entire Christian life. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Hebrews 11 chapter, if you're not familiar with that. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Why? Because what God wants is not a lifestyle. It's not a religious performance. It's not that. What God wants is your heart. What God wants is a real relationship with you. To know you and you know Him. That you see Him as He is. That you live life together. That you have a real relationship with Him. That you love Him and trust Him because of His love and goodness to you. Amen? That's why without faith, without a loving, trusting confidence in God, it's impossible to please Him. It's the foundation of our relationship with God. As I said, this Christian life's more than a lifestyle. It's more than a culture. It's a loving relationship with the very Creator of the universe. Yes, I know it results in a lifestyle, in a culture. But one don't lead to the other. It's faith that leads to that, not the other way around. Keep your faith. Again, faith is your loving, trusting confidence in God. Strengthen your faith. How do you do that? Well, the first part is keep praying. That's the point of this parable. Don't give up. Amen? Keep praying. Be consistent in your prayers. The woman in the parable came every day. Right? She came every day repenting. I don't know, it may have been a long time because I doubt 2 or 3 days the guy was getting tired, worn out with it. It was a while. She's coming every day and presenting her case, right? Be persistent in your prayers. Be consistent in your prayers. Talk to God every day. Talk to God throughout the day. Learn to live life with God. One of the ways that strengthens your faith is by talking to God all the time. When God moves, you'll actually recognize it was God moving. If we ain't talking to God, if God's not a reality in our life, often He can move and we aren't sure if it's God or not. Amen? Be persistent in your prayers. Don't lose heart. Don't give up. Delays can cause doubts, and doubts cause us to give up. Don't let it happen to you. Persist. Press on through the doubts and discouragement. And then here's a big one. First of all, keep praying. The second one is cultivate thankfulness. I know we're a ways away from Thanksgiving yet, but in everything, pray with thanksgiving. Philippians 4:6 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. Colossians 4:2, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. Here's an added element for successful prayer and faith. Thankfulness. Thankfulness. How thankful do we feel when we feel like we haven't been treated fairly and God has went beyond the time we thought He ought to have answered? Well, it's probably not a thankful heart we have at that point. That's why it's necessary to cultivate thankfulness in your heart. Thankfulness reminds us of God's goodness. Amen? When you're thankful, you're reminded God had been good to me. Thankfulness reminds us of God's faithfulness and care. God has been faithful. Amen? Thankfulness helps us find contentment while we wait and helps us to endure the delays. This is a biggie. We get so focused on what we yet don't have and what we want, we can become unthankful, ungrateful. But if we focus on what God's already given us, what we have to be thankful for, it helps us find contentment in spite of the delay. Amen? It's part of how you endure and keep your faith in the delay. Thankfulness fuels our faith to continue to be persistent in prayer. When you're truly thankful, you find it easy to trust God. Come on. When we're truly thankful about what God's done to us, faith comes much more easily than when we're not. Faith also supports our hope, thankfulness supports our hope. When you are thankful, it helps the hope that's necessary for faith. That God's been faithful to me, I have much to be thankful for, therefore I can hope that God's still going to continue to do that. Amen? Keep praying. Conscious effort to cultivate thankfulness. One of the things you need to do is incorporate it into your daily prayer life. Amen? Daily. Unless it's an emergency, begin your prayer by listing off things that you're thankful, genuinely thankful for to God. Amen? One of the things I know, we've been down this path in the last 18 years many, many, many times, haven't we? I'm just always curious how many of us actually incorporate these things into our life. Because if you actually do these things, it has effect in your life. Amen?
Yes.
Keep praying, cultivate thankfulness, and then live in His favor. We talked about this last week. Stay in a place God can safely bless you. Amen? Keep yourself in His favor. That means do those things that you know pleases God. Amen? 1 John 3:18, little children, it's not love and word or talk, but indeed and truth. Amen? By this we shall know that we're in the truth and reassure our hearts before Him. For whenever our hearts condemns us, God's greater than our hearts and He knows everything. Beloved, if our heart condemns us not, then we have confidence before God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive for Him because we keep His commandments and do what pleases Him. There's a connection between answered prayer and living in God's favor. Maintain your life of obedience. It don't earn you anything. It just simply keeps you in a place where God can safely bless you. Amen? Wavering faith can cause us to be tempted to please ourselves. You hear me? When difficulties come or the delay's been longer than we think it ought to be, self-pity is ready at hand. Why do we indulge in self-pity? Because in one way it makes us feel good. Amen? Well, I'm going to tell you something. You can go there, but don't stay there. Get it over with in a couple of minutes, get back out of there. Cultivate thankfulness. Realize God's good all the time. God's been better than you than what you deserve. One of the things you ought to write on the wall, life may not be as good as you had hoped, but it's certainly a whole lot better than what we deserve. Amen? It'll help you face, I repeat that every day just about, because anytime anybody asks me how I'm doing, that's what I tell them. Not as good as I hoped, but a whole lot better than what I deserve. Amen? And that's really the truth. Don't remove yourself from where God can bless you. Self-pity means we oftentimes are tempted to give liberty to ourselves, to please ourselves, and oftentimes do so in a way that removes us from where God can safely bless us. Because we need to get straightened back up again before God can bless us. Hey, let's avoid that detour and just stay in a place God can bless us. And then feed your faith by His Word. So faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So faith comes by the Word of God, Romans 10:17. It's in God's Word that we're reminded of God's goodness and holiness. When every situation in life may be screaming, God isn't fair, God isn't good, God doesn't care about you, God doesn't love you. When all the situations, Satan's screaming that, you need to get in God's Word and be reminded God is good. All the time, in every situation. It's in God's Word that we're reminded of His love, His care, and His faithfulness for us. It's in God's Word that we find His promises for our care. Amen? We're busy, busy, busy. But don't neglect the reading of God's Word. I know many people today have gotten so used to visually receiving information and verbally receiving it that the art of reading has fallen off. But you need to read God's Word. Amen. You need to read God's Word. Daily is ideal. And I'm not going to give you acceptable because you get much beyond daily, you're going to be struggling. Because it's our source of nourishment. Luke 4:4, Jesus answered him saying, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." Do you know when that was spoken originally? Spoken originally, but concerning manna. God gave them manna daily when they had no other source of food. Because He wanted them to know, you don't live by just this food, but it's by every word of God. Which means God's Word and our confidence in God's Word is more important to us than our meals. If you want to live eternally, that's the real truth, folks. And finally, strengthen yourself and your faith in the body of believers. This is what we spoke about Wednesday night. If you weren't here and didn't hear it, get on and listen to it. It's available. We need each other. It's part of the means of grace. Grace is God's goodness and empowering. Grace is God's means of unmerited favor. But that grace doesn't just fall out of the sky. Grace comes by God's Spirit. It comes by God's Word. And it comes through God's people. When Brother Sam was singing those words, what was the purpose in that? It was an avenue to impart grace to your mind and heart, right? It's an avenue of grace coming to us to strengthen us. When we preach, it's the same thing. When we sing collectively, it's the same thing. When we testify, when we encourage each other one-on-one, all those are means of God's grace. It's how the channel through which God shows His unmerited love to you. I'll say the same thing I did say Wednesday night. If you can safely be here, then be here. Not everybody can safely be here. Amen? It isn't safe. It isn't proper. You have to judge that for yourself. I ain't going to judge it. I don't make a recommendation or pass judgment on anybody concerning this except to say in your heart, if you can safely be here, you need to be here. If you can't safely be here, though, you need to join the service live if at all possible. And as I said Wednesday night, we're exploring ways to enhance that. I do want it to be the full service. I do want it to be video and audio so you can, those who can't be here can be more fully engaged in all the service. Amen? Because it's one of the ways we strengthen our faith. We need to make sure we keep our heart engaged with the work of the local congregation. Amen? I want to encourage you this morning. Keep praying. And above all, don't lose your faith. Some of you have prayed for some things for a long time. Some of you have passed the mark already when you believe God should have answered. Some of you are already beginning to have to fight doubts concerning God's love, God's care, God's promises. Reject them. When doubts come, they will not do you any good. Any thoughts that God's not good, God's not faithful, God's not fair, God's arbitrary, God's not doing everything He could possibly do, morally do, rightfully do, any of those thoughts that come to you not of God. Amen? They may be natural, but Satan jump on them and amplify them and scream them. Fight them this way. There's a whole bunch of life I don't understand. And I've gotten old enough now, there are a whole bunch of life I don't expect to understand it, ever. I just don't. I don't have to have an answer for myself or anybody else for a lot of things that happen. I just simply don't know. But this I do know. God loves me. He proved it on the cross. He's proved it in my life for nearly 40 years. Actually, 60-some years, because He proved His love to me when I didn't love Him in return. God's good all the time in every situation. I don't have to be able to reason it out and see that. God is good. God's working on my behalf to bring me home safe to heaven and everybody else that He can at the same time. Amen? So I don't, and those doubts come up every time you hit an adverse situation. Satan's going to see to it. Those doubts flare up. Fight them. Don't entertain them. Don't pet them. Amen? You'll suffer in the end. Some things that look so comforting. I remember one time when I was home in Scottsburg, there was a little family of skunks trotting across the road. And stopped, and we snagged one of those baby skunks. This is so cute. And I'd seen people have them for pets. Just a little fella. And we got him home, put him in the trunk, got him home. And I popped the trunk open to get him out, and he was a lot more mature than I had thought he was. And I took baths in tomato juice and everything else for a long time to try and rid myself of that aroma, and it took a long time for it to wear off. There's sometimes we entertain things that may look like they're comforting to us because they work with our self-pity, some thoughts and stuff, but they can do you damage. It takes a long time to get rid of if you're not careful. Amen? If you know the danger's there, and danger is in doubts. Amen? Doubts are always dangerous. When you know it's there, don't pick the thing up and cuddle it. Don't pick the thing up and think you're going to somehow avoid the danger end of it. Amen? Just stay away from it. James 5:16, confess your faults one to another, pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Nevertheless, shall he find faith in your life. In spite of all those things, you know what that tells me? What we're going through is going to knock some people out. Some people are going to lose their faith. Some people aren't going to endure to the end and be saved. Don't let it be you. Nip it in the bud. It's not enough to maintain a good outward moral life. It's about your faith, your trust, your love, your confidence in God. Keep your faith. Keep praying. Be consistent. Be persistent in your prayer. Feed your faith in God's Word. Strengthen your faith in the fellowship of believers and help strengthen each other's faith in the fellowship of believers. Amen? Cultivate thankfulness. It's one of the most valuable attributes you can have as a Christian is thankfulness. It will protect you from so many other harms and dangers. Cultivate it. Work at it daily. Give attention to it. Be conscious of it. Amen? Keep your faith. Keep your faith. This is a life and death thing, folks. It's been impressed on me a number of ways. There's a critical time we're in. Don't let your faith slip in this time. Amen? Amen. Let's stand and be dismissed in a word of song. Heavenly Father, we